Tommy 80.
Hey, Alex.
Welcome to the Confident ROI.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
Well, I'm excited to have you on in studio in the new Idaho studio. You're the first to see it. No one else has seen the secret location.
Really? I'm it. And this isn't this your 50th podcast now?
It is. It is. You heard me when I said it was my
50th. I did. Well, I'm glad to be number 50, and I like your new studio. This is perfect.
Well, Paul, who had helped me start this podcast, said most podcasts don't get past 6 and they rarely get to 50. So I have hit a milestone. I have questioned myself a few times. My wife and daughter have questioned me a few times. Why am I doing it? But it's been great. I've been learning all kinds of new stuff and talking to people like you and learning about, we're going to learn about sales today and the specific, and also about the power sports industry, which is fascinating to me how much people can spend on these toys. And just the industry around them. But why don't you introduce yourself to the audience and your involvement in the power sport industry and the auto industry.
Okay, well, my name's Tommy 80, and I've been in the business since I was a young lad. my dad, he started with Toyota Motors down in Torrance, California, about 1972, somewhere around there. My mom, once she got out of college, we lived in San Francisco area, and she went to work selling cars after she graduated from college. And so then in 86, they bought their first dealership, and it was a Chevrolet store. And after that, they started going after other ones. I raced motorcycles at the time. And they decided it would be cheaper and they could make money if they opened a motorcycle dealership. So in 88, 89, they opened their first Kawasaki dealership. Got that. And I went to college, got out of college in 94, came back, and became a salesperson. Which, yeah, obviously you don't need a degree to become a car salesperson, motorcycle salesperson, but I noticed that's where the money was. If you want to make money, you've got to sell. It doesn't really matter what you're selling. So I got into sales and became a partner with them eventually in their dealerships. And then what? It was all because of racing. And then the day after 9/11, we closed on the first deal. They decided they wanted to retire. I wanted out. I had other ideas in life. And we closed on the first sale of a Chevrolet dealership, selling it to somebody else. Definitely thought that deal was going to fall apart. And because a couple of deals before that, before 9/11, fell apart. And that buyer kept it together. And right after that, then I started my sales and management training company. And that's always been for primarily power sports dealerships. Some car dealerships. There were a lot of car dealerships in the beginning. And then I ventured off over to the power sports side, decided that they could use a lot more help. And 2019? 13, 14 years later, I'm still going strong.
And so you work with power sport dealers and what do you do with them?
Yeah, I work with power sports dealerships, do a couple of different things. There's a lot of sales training. It's consulting for dealerships. For example, next week I have to head to Oklahoma to a couple of my larger dealers down there, and it's working with each department. And it's sales training, it's management training, and figuring out how they can increase their margins, how they can get more customers. The store that I'm going into next week, they're out in the middle of nowhere, a town of about 10,000 people. They're one of the largest stores in the country, though. And they've had to figure out, how do we get people into the store that don't live here? Because there's nobody that lives in the area. That if they want to make a lot of money, they've got to do different things. And it's marketing to their customers. And then once those customers call them on the phone, you've got to say the right things. And that's what I learned a long time ago, was most salespeople don't know what to say. They know to say hello when they pick up the phone, but it's knowing what the customer wants to hear and being transparent with them, being honest with them, and saying the right things, knowing what to say.
And it's not just on the phone. I mean, sometimes when you walk up in a dealership and that first approach, it can really kind of put you on guard as a customer.
Oh yeah, because if you're at a car dealership or a motorcycle dealership, you know you're about to be sold something. You're going to get sold. But that's not the case because 90% of the salespeople aren't very good. And probably half of them haven't even received any training. They're just regular people there trying to make a living. And so your guard is up when you pull onto that lot. And the first few words out of that salesperson's mouth, typically they're, you walk in the door and it's, "Hi, is there anything I can help you with?" I know what your answer is going to be. "No, thanks. I'm just looking." That's not what you wanted to hear. That's a negative response. So we teach people, don't say that unless you know exactly how to handle that when somebody says, "No, thanks, I'm just looking," but you just don't want to hear it. So we teach people to say, like, "Welcome to ABC Motors. I'm Tommy, and you are?" And then the person will say, "I'm John." "Well, thanks for coming in." "Well, you're welcome. Thank you." And then you're off on a totally different start. You're off on a positive now. And not a negative. So it starts with the intro.
And that's not just car sales. I mean, that's, like you said, if you want to make any money, you got to sell. I had a mentor when I was young, and he told me, and I wanted to make a lot of money when I was a kid. He's like, "You want to make money, learn to sell." I mean, you don't have to be the smartest person, but you have to sell. And we're all selling in today's world. We sell in a lot of different ways, but inevitably, to me, you have to make a connection with the person that's almost not related to the sale before you can even start that process.
You have to make a connection. I mean, there's a couple of different ways to sell. There's relationships selling, and then there's transactional selling. Transactional selling, it's like going to Walmart. You grab your thing, you know it's going to be a low price. You take it up there. You don't even need to talk to somebody now. You can do your own checkout at a lot of stores. So that's a transaction right there, transactional selling. But then there's relationship selling. Relationship, that's where you've got to build a little bit of rapport with somebody. Don't be fake about it, but you got to build rapport with your customer. Find out, say they're coming in to buy a car or a motorcycle, you probably should shake hands with the person, find out their name, tell them your name, find out what they're looking for, who the lucky one is. Is it going to be for you or somebody else? And they'll tell you, "Well, it's going to be for my daughter." "Oh, does she know about this?" And "No, she doesn't." "Oh, I bet she's excited." So I'm building rapport right there with the customer and building a relationship. And I'm being genuine about it. There can't be anything fake because customers can detect fakeness. And then I take the customer through the sales process. And then afterwards, after everything's done, they've signed papers, paid their money, or signed up for payments, I do a follow-up call. I've got to do that follow-up call. And then a week later, I do another follow-up call. 45 days later, they're on my email list, or they're going to get a letter in the mail or a card. I'm not going to write a letter, but I'm going to stay in touch with them. That's relationship selling. And then pretty soon, and you can do this in any business, you've got to do it if you want to become successful. Then pretty soon I'm going to have referrals from that customer, and that customer, is he or she going to buy another vehicle? Heck yeah, they are. Who are they going to go to? They're going to go to me, because most other salespeople out there are going to try to turn it into transaction. Transaction selling, there's no gross, or there's low gross, which is Walmart. That doesn't work in a dealership very well. and there's very few repeat business and referrals that happen.
So, but people are going into they're buying dealerships and they're starting them, and they haven't trained their salespeople.
Oh, it's so.
I mean that's all there is to sell, right? I mean, it's not like they're building the car. Maybe they fix it, but they got to sell one first to fix one. But I mean, how much does it cost to buy a set up a power sport dealership?
I was just part of a transaction that just closed yesterday, and it was about a $12 million transaction. And the new dealer has money, so I call him the money man. Got the money man. And that's what a lot of them are. They've got some money, but the person that's going to run the show, the acting dealer, is the one with the experience. So I don't know what this person's going to do. But in a typical situation, the new dealer goes in and expects customers to just start rolling in because you're selling motorcycles, right? Jet skis, side-by-sides, ATVs. It's fun. So you would think that customers just start coming in the door and handing you money. It doesn't work that way. So you've got to train your salespeople. And some many stores out there do absolutely no training. In the Valley here, there's a few.
The Treasure Valley.
Treasure Valley, yeah. Here, Boise, Idaho, no training. Some will refuse to train their people, but then there's a couple of others that are light years ahead of the ones that won't train, and they're all about training. And you can go into those dealerships, and you know who's been trained and who hasn't been trained. The dealerships with the trained personnel, higher customer satisfaction scores with the manufacturers, more repeat and referral business in those stores. In fact, one of them here is the number one dealer for their manufacturer in the United States. And they're not in Boise. They're on the outskirts of Boise, but they're the number one dealer, and they train their people.
And so what does that mean, training?
Training, teaching your people what to do when they get to work. A lot of people show up. I think you saw one of my videos. It's titled Smoking and Joking. So you get to a lot of dealerships, you drive around the car lots in there, and you might notice certain ones, their salespeople out there, they're in a huddle. We call them the huddle. They're huddled up.
Looks like a pack of wolves.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and they're out there, they're smoking and joking.
And they say you, the prey, like, oh, this feels good.
Yeah. And then one of them's going to follow you around until your vehicle stops. But yeah, it's a pack of wolves sitting there, and they're smoking and joking, and they're waiting for you to stop. I lost my train of thought what I was getting at.
Well, are they not trained?
I mean, Yeah.
You don't train them to smoke and joke.
Right. You don't train them to smoke and joke, but they get to work, and that's what they start doing. And so the training has to begin with what they do when they get to work. The first thing that they should do is not go make coffee. Somebody should make coffee, but it's to get over to the appointment board that's on the wall. Look at the appointment board and go, okay, I see I've got 3 appointments today. But the first problem is there's no appointment board in the dealerships. It's very difficult to find a dealership that's got that appointment board. So if there's no appointments, you're not going to get ready for your appointments that day. The next thing that you should probably do is know that you send a quick text to your customer, because if you have, my appointment with you, what did I get this morning? I got a text from you reminding me of our appointment today.
For the interview.
Yeah, the interview.
Right.
And then you're going to
go. Well, I didn't. It was automatically sent.
Yeah. And that technology is available to all these salespeople out there. It doesn't matter what industry you're in. Automotive dealership, motorcycle dealership, dental office. That's what they should be doing in the morning. And then you pick up the phone and you can schedule more appointments with your customers. But what do so many of them do? They head out on the lot to smoke and joke, smoke their cigarettes, talk about what they did the night before. And it's because nobody ever trained them what you actually do to become successful at selling. and it's not going outside to huddle up with the crew, because then the next thing that happens, it's called the WFL group. Have you ever heard of that?
No.
WFL. It's the What's for Lunch group. And so, yeah, they're out there. They're the WFL, and they're figuring out what they want to have for lunch. And I used to love that because I sold for a long time. And I was in that group, the WFL. I'd get to work in the morning. Somebody'd make the coffee. Pretty soon, being here in Boise, it's going to be cold outside in the wintertime. So, and I've never smoked, but we're going to go sit down in front of the window and let the sun shine in. And we'd bask in the sun for a while because we're just waiting for customers to show up. That's a problem. You can't wait for your customers to show up, because a lot of times then you're depending on the marketing.
Right.
Yeah. And a lot of stores aren't good at marketing, and you don't want to rely on somebody else bringing in your customers. So shouldn't wait when you get to work, but you need to start calling. So anyway, there we are, the WFL, sitting there. Pretty soon it's 10:30, 11 o'clock. What are we going to have for lunch? What do you guys want for lunch?
When you're bored, you get hungry.
Yeah. And so we've been sitting there doing nothing for a while. It's cold outside. Let's get lunch figured out. And so then we'd order lunch, and then somebody's got to go pick it up. Who's going to go pick it up? Takes an hour to go get it. That's another wasted hour there. And a lot of times when it was time to go pick up lunch, you know, your managers get involved too. Hey, what's for lunch? The owner comes out. Yeah, get me a number two. And then on the way to pick up the lunch, you might drop by the sporting goods store to see what's going on in there to kill some time. And then you'd go pick up the lunch, show back up at work at about noon, sit down for an hour. You'd eat lunch in the lunchroom, and then it's 1 o'clock. And what happens after you eat too much? You're tired now. And then you get back out on the floor about 1:30, 2 o'clock, and you're still waiting for customers to come in. Anyway, this goes on every single day until it's payday and your paycheck sucks. But nobody ever trained anybody that's not what you do every day, that there's better things to do, and they can be fun, especially fun because money is involved. And the more money you are, the happier you typically are. And that's what some of this training that I do involves, because you should always be looking at your sales activities. What are you doing to create a sale?
So you're saying it's the salesperson is just waiting for someone to walk up, that they're not going to generate income, versus they're not going to generate great income, but they got to go out and bring in the customers. The person that just paid $12 million for a franchise, for a dealership, I mean, if they think the people are going to come in, they're going to be disappointed.
It's not going to happen.
You got to go get them.
Yeah.
And so that's not just on it's both the salesperson and the dealership's got to be reaching out.
Yeah. Dealership definitely has to reach out. So the guy that just sold this dealership that I'm talking about, he's been very successful in other industries, very, very successful, decided, hey, I want to get a motorcycle dealership because his kids race motorcycles. And that's typically how it happens in the motorcycle business. It's passion. And so,
it's tax deductible.
Yeah. Yeah. The racing's tax deductible. And so this guy bought a motorcycle. If you make money at it, you better make money. It's a good way to lose a lot of money. And so he bought a dealership, and he thought, you know, I can work like Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday and Saturday and Sunday. I'm going to take my kids racing. And because he loves racing with his kids. I get it. And so then you're relying on the current management or the management you have in place to make you a bunch of money. That doesn't happen. It's not always the case, because you need to have fabulous management in place, fabulous salespeople in place, people that are managing your dealership while you're gone. And that's what a lot of people do. And that's what happened to him. He would leave Friday, Saturday, Sunday. They weren't open on Sundays, so but Friday and Saturday, those are your busiest days of the week. And he wasn't there to take care of that store. He finally admitted, hey, this is not the life I signed up for. This is not what I wanted. I didn't want to be working 5 or 6 days a week. I wanted to be working 3 days a week. So but fortunately he admitted it finally and he got out.
All right. Well, and so it's being focused, you know, it's not just a hobby, and sometimes just people come into this industry and it's a hobby, but what about that dealership in Oklahoma? There's 10,000 people. Not a lot, but they want to make money. They gotta sell. How? What are they doing? And how do they connect with customers? I mean, obviously, they're probably not driving by. You know, so many of them are like, hey, if I got a good location, people will drive by, and when they're ready to buy one, they'll come see me. But what do they do when you don't get the drive by enough to stay and survive?
Yeah, so there's no way they're gonna get the drive by. There's nobody out there. They're out in the middle of cotton farm. And so what they do, they've got their marketing person, the person that runs the marketing department. That person makes sure that they're getting the digital marketing that they need. It's not radio, it's not TV, but it's ads in different markets out there. Texas, a lot of marketing over in Texas, a little bit in Kansas. Texas, you've got a massive draw there. New Mexico, got marketing over in New Mexico. And it's
so why would they go to Oklahoma to buy an ATV?
Because the people in Oklahoma at my dealerships will answer the phone differently. They're not transaction based. They build relationships. So they know exactly what to say when they answer the phone. So they're going to answer the phone.
What's for lunch?
Yeah. There is no WFL in these dealerships. They're trained. They've been doing the training for a while. Their calls are recorded. So they know that somebody's going to listen to their phone calls. So if they screw up, well, you know what? You're not going to last very long in the middle of Oklahoma if you can't sell. So it's relationship selling there. But number one, it's the marketing. They've got the marketing. So they get people to email the dealership. They're called leads, internet leads. They get internet leads overnight and every day. They have certain processes, sales processes, to follow up with those leads. The typical dealership doesn't follow up with an internet lead for about 24 hours. These people have to do it within 15 minutes. If it's within business hours, 15 minutes. Now, we've also given their customers the opportunity to text if they want to buy something, or if they want pricing, they can do it via text. A lot of companies out there don't do that. And we have specific scripts that we've set them up with on what they need to say in those text messages. And, buyer, the millennials out there, they don't like to talk on the phone.
They don't know how.
Yeah. They prefer. Yeah. They probably don't know how. You talk to, I've got a millennial child going to school right now, and he's never been a big talker on the phone, but he can text. Super smart guy, and his thing is texting. So, but there's a lot of businesses out there that don't allow, don't teach, and don't promote their salespeople texting customers to sell something. And so we've set up a lot of texting with these dealerships where they know exactly what to say. They're not just having conversations with customers. They're trying to close deals, but they've got to build rapport at the same time. And then also they've got to recognize that your average customer isn't going to buy immediately. They're not going to find out. They don't walk up to you and go, hey, here's my check for $10,000. I want to buy that unit right over there. They want to do the research. And so you've got to follow up with them, which some salespeople aren't good at follow up because nobody taught them how to follow up. And it's your typical follow up call goes, hey, this is Tommy over at ABC Motorsports. How's it going? Yeah, good. Did you get anything yet? You didn't. If I could save you some more money on that, would you want to come in and do this? That doesn't work. That doesn't work. It's giving away the gross, and the customer, how many salespeople has that customer heard that from? All of them. But what if you train the salesperson to call up and go, hey, it's Tommy over at ABC Motorsports. Have you got 2 minutes? Hey, did you get something yet? Do you still want something? If I had the right figures for you, how soon could you be here? Now or later on today? Could I get a deposit over the phone? Do you need some payments on that? Asking closing questions. And that's what we've taught them to do down there. And it's made a huge difference. Oh, you asked how do they attract customers? Also, they've got a couple of racing teams, but they're joint ventures. They're not spending all the money on their racing teams. One of them, they've got a road bike team, and then they've got a motocross team also. They've got a team that's going to the supercrosses. So, and that's just marketing right there. It's not just to get guys to the races. It's to help their racers out, but also it's to get leads out there. We want the phone to ring, and we want internet leads to come in, because we know people are not going to walk in that front door because nobody lives there.
So they're tracking the leads they're generating from the racing team?
Yeah, they'll track the leads that they're getting from the racing team, because we've set up different websites. We've got a new factory racing website there that sells different products than their main dealership sells. And so we track where those leads are coming from. And we know if it's coming from, there's a online publication called Cycle Trader. We know if Cycle Trader is sending leads over. We know if their race team is sending leads over. We know if the big publication down in Texas is sending them over. So we watch where all of those leads are coming from and how many are being converted into sales. But the next big thing is we know what to say to those leads when they come in. We don't ignore those leads. And we have specific scripts that we use. We don't sound scripted, but we have specific scripts that have to be used when those leads come in.
Because when someone comes in, it's really the culmination of all the marketing.
Yeah.
There's a lot of money that goes into getting one person to show up, even if it's passive advertising or that. I mean, it's not an accident that people show up on the front door. Because usually there's competitors. If you're buying a car, there's more than one Ford dealership. I mean, is there assessment on how many times someone has to hear about a dealership before they'd even consider them when they are ready to buy?
You know, that has changed so much. We know the cost to get a customer. The cost for a motorcycle dealership, for example, the cost to get a customer, it's about $38 a customer. That's
to get someone to walk in or to talk to someone.
Yeah, to talk to somebody, $38. So very important. You don't talk to that person just once. You've got to, and then they don't buy on that, say, that initial phone call, because at a lot of dealerships, customers are going to call in or they're going to email you, become an internet lead before they step foot in your dealership. So you've got to make about 12 additional phone calls before they actually buy.
12 phone calls. Really?
Yes. So what's that tell you? When a customer comes or calls your dealership, what should be some of the first questions that you ask that customer? What's your name?
Mm-hmm.
And then how do you spell your last name? And then what's the number I can call you back at? That's what you've got to ask, but you've got to make it sound easy and like you're really going to call them back. No cheesy lines in case, which what most people have learned, in case we get disconnected, can I get a number to call you back at? You're not going to get disconnected. The smarter customers know that's all you know, because you heard it from somebody, from some con artist from Nigeria, acting like they're with Microsoft. It doesn't work.
You got that call too.
I got that call. So we teach them, you've got to get some information to the customer, because they're not going to buy on that first call. You've got to call them back. They're not going to answer. You got to call them back again. They're not going to answer. You've also got to email them. You've got to text them. You've got to call them. It's not going to annoy your customers if you're a professional salesperson. If you have not been trained at this, yeah, it's probably going to annoy your customers. And then the next week, you're going to give up. You're done with calling customers more than two or three times. You're never going to text a customer again unless they ask you to. And you probably aren't going to email them because you've got an email account that ends with @gmail.com, where it should be the dealership's name. Like @abcpowersports.com.
And so it's really, things have changed now from a dealership standpoint. You really need a customer CRM system in order to manage all this. If you got to talk to someone 12 times, if you're getting calls, if you're scheduling appointments, you're not just waiting. People just magically, you said, they don't just magically show up and hand you a check for 10 grand.
Right.
You got to nurture this and that. And it is that what the more successful dealerships are doing? Are they investing in the technology that tracks the people, that texts the people, that helps you stay on top? Hey, are we actually talking to these people?
Most of the dealerships are investing in CRMs. For example, Polaris, they bought a CRM company, and now they require you, if you want to be a Polaris dealer, you have to have a CRM. But a lot of times they don't monitor if that CRM is being used. And I know from the reports I get, do you know I have a CRM company also?
I was not aware of
that. Okay, so I've got a CRM. I built it as a, I didn't create it to be a CRM. I built it to make it easier for salespeople to sell and easier for customers to buy. And it's called the Right Back. And that's why I did it. And then people noticed that, hey, this could be a CRM. And so we turned it into a CRM, made some mods, keeps all the customer information in there, lets them schedule follow-up dates, number of different things. And but dealers out there, there's a number of CRMs available, but a lot of them don't know how to use them. Some of them have a lot of features. They're fabulous. They're overloaded with features, but many salespeople out there don't know how to use the CRM because the CRM company didn't offer any training. They built a CRM, but they forgot to train the people how to use the CRM. Now, the dealerships that do have the CRMs and use them, night and day difference on how their sales go.
And what is it, how much of the dealerships that are doing great, how much time are they spending training their people from, you know, getting out of the WFL and not smoking and joking to the CRM? Is that a week? Is that a month? What does it take to get somebody up to speed where they're not destroying these leads that cost time and money to get?
It's the time involved is so minimal. Like next week, the dealerships that my Oklahoma stores, they do about 20 to 30 minutes a day. But that's 4 days a week. So it's not even the entire week. But if you just do training for 30 minutes a day, that's so much more than what the competition might be.
And that's perpetual.
Yeah, it never ends.
Okay.
Never
ends. So instead of having a week of 8-hour classes and your brain at some point says, okay, there's no more room. It's perpetual training. In terms of is it, what's some of the stuff that's really working nowadays in the training?
As far as the training goes, like I just did something, it's called the 30-day sales challenge. And the 30-day sales challenge, it costs money. They've got, the dealership's got to pay for it, or the person had to pay for it. And the training that really mattered was 5 days a week for about 30 minutes a day. And what that involved, it was to, of course, increase your sales, increase your income. It showed you what a top performer's going to do. And that training, what was it? On day one was knowing your numbers, knowing where you're at. And that's digging into your CRM. And they had to learn how to use their CRM. And what they would take a look at in there was, how many customers did I talk to in the showroom or on the dealership premises yesterday, for example, the day before that? And then for an entire month, how many people did I talk to for an entire month? And so they learned that maybe they only talked to 50 people in an entire month. And the, out of those 50 people, maybe they sold 15 units. Well, I know from my research, that's probably not possible. They probably talked to more like 100 people. They just didn't get the info from the other 50 people and put it in their CRM. So that's part of the training. How do you look at your statistics? And then how do you take those statistics and build off of them? Because it's just like the NFL. Kellen Moore. Now he's the offensive coordinator for the Dallas Cowboys. He's one of our Boise State's heroes here.
Yeah.
Yeah, in football. Kellen Moore. Does he pay attention to statistics? Heck yeah. And why don't salespeople pay attention to that stuff? Because it's nice to know that, you know what, I talked to 50 people last month. I only made $3,000. Does that mean if I talk to 100, I can make $6,000? Exactly. But a lot of people haven't realized that that's the case. That's what you do. So that's part of it. And then we teach, as far as that sales training goes, how to use Facebook, how to use Instagram, how to use Twitter, because you can't just get on there and say, hey, everybody, I sell motorcycles or I sell cars. But you've got to get on there and you've got to know how to let the world know, hey, I'm a salesperson. I'm not ashamed of it. I sell cars or I sell motorcycles. Here's where I'm at. And then you, another thing that we train them on, how to do a video. Like a YouTube video. How do you do a YouTube video when you're a salesperson? And a lot of salespeople have said, well, I don't know what I'd say. Well, if you don't know what you'd say in a video about what you sell, how can you sell anything?
So it's almost like practice.
Yeah. So we teach them how to do that. And everything, they get the lines for everything.
Yeah.
For a lot of these dealerships, I do a daily sales training with them. It's 4 days a week. It's for a half hour a morning. It's live stream. So they just get to work half hour early. They log on. There I am. And we teach them all sorts of stuff. What to say to a customer, how to close a customer, how to call a customer's bluff. Because a lot of customers will call on the phone. You've gone back and forth with them a couple of times and they'll say, hey, I can get it over at this dealership for less money. And but a lot of salespeople don't know how to respond to that. And so we teach them how to call that customer's bluff, because customers will bluff. Some people call it lying, because it's okay to lie to salespeople, right?
It's like the FBI. The FBI can lie, but you can't lie to them.
Exactly. Yeah. Same thing with salespeople. So that's part of what we teach them. And so a dealership can train their salespeople on virtually anything. And it's training. It's going
to
help.
But that's huge. I mean, technology's changed it where you don't have to send people to a class. You don't have to have them watch an old video from 20 years ago on a VHS tape. It's something the millennials can Google.
And, yeah.
But nowadays they can get fresh training live and not have to travel. In that, you know, it's a huge savings, and that it also matches better our learning process. We can kind of learn in batches and try things out. Do they interact with you as well?
On certain calls.
Okay.
Yeah, we have certain days where they're able to ask questions with little interaction, and there are certain days where they can't say a word. Yeah. Gotcha. Yep.
Well, we've covered a lot in the power sport industry today and sales as well. Anything else we missed for telling people where they can get a hold of you?
You know, I think that's it. Just go to tommyady.com. That's TommyAdy.com. check out the site, and we do a lot of training for different industries, and hopefully you find some content on there that is beneficial to you, because I have a lot of free content on there.
Cool. Well, Tommy, thanks for coming on the show. And I think since spring is coming here, and probably a good time in the power sport industry.
Yeah, I can't wait for it to warm up. And thanks for having me, Alex.